To begin by disabusing anyone in the audience who was misled by that introduction into thinking that I represent the Faculty Committee on Student Affairs. That's the most unlikely assignment for me that anybody could dream of. I am not now a member of the Faculty Committee on Student Affairs, nor am I ever likely to be. But I'm here on this rock because somebody who was going to speak as a member, not on behalf of the committee, decided not to at the last minute because I think he thought there might be a conflict of interest or something. As a matter of fact, I think there would be. I speak not representing anyone. I don't represent the Department of Economics, although I've finally, after 12 years at Michigan State, we've reached a point where not only is there a substantial body of students and faculty, as indicated by this crowd, who have achieved some sensitivity to fairness and humaneness, but even among my colleagues in the economics department, there is a fair body of support for opposition to this lamentable resolution adopted by, pardon the expression, the trustees. And I want to assure you, it's a good idea. I'm just advising those of you who are faculty who haven't been involved in controversies up to now and students who haven't been active up to now. It's a good idea when you hold a position as a member of a faculty or you work for some corporation or labor union or whatnot to begin by disclaiming that you speak on behalf of your employer. And so I'm going to begin that way. I don't speak on behalf of Michigan State University, only for myself. Now let me remind some of you who weren't here last June or have forgotten about it, if that's possible, how we got to this regrettable point where we are now. Last June, during finals week, there was a sit-in in the administration building. By and large, from what I can gather from hearing the president's account of it and others, it was peaceful. But the fact of the matter is, they apparently did close the administration building for a few hours in the afternoon. And the police were called out in what some of us thought were excessive numbers. Seemed to be inappropriate for a university atmosphere to have that many police on the campus to deal with what a problem that didn't seem to call for that show of military force. And out of all that came the arrest of some of those students who had committed trespass in the university building and so on. Then the legislature, which doesn't seem to have time to do some things that some of us might want them to do in the field of welfare and et cetera, got terribly agitated about this threat to order on the Michigan State campus. And they were making threats concerning what they would do to the university, deprive us of appropriations, etc. And I suppose in response to that, the Academic Council of Michigan State, a body with some 40 elected professors and about 25 ex officio deans and other administrators, met in an emergency session last June and adopted a scandalous resolution, slapping the students in the face and accusing them of wantonly disrupting the orderly, they say the word, processes. I come from the West Coast, so I call it processes. But anyway, disrupting the university. And in effect, they said they committed a crime and they ought to be punished. And there wasn't any sign that I could discern as an observer there. I'm not a member of that body either. There wasn't any sign of compassion or sympathy in that entire body, except for one member. Happily, I can say he's a colleague of mine in economics, Professor Walter Adams. And so now I gather the trustees have decided to run scared along with our representatives on the Academic Council, and they've adopted this illegal resolution. Now, I don't want to make threats that I can't carry out, but we did have some success a couple of years ago before some of you arrived on the campus. In a similar instance, similar if this resolution is carried out in a way that it could be carried out, given its language and given the temper of the faculty, at least the faculty council, the administration, and the trustees. That resolution denying due process to someone accused of disrupting the orderly affairs of the university violates First Amendment rights. We established that in the case of Schiff versus Hanna et al. About 3 years ago, where the defendants were Hanna and the trustees, who had denied readmission to a graduate student named Paul Schiff because he was engaged in what they contended were disruptive political activities that brought discredit on the name of the university. The activities, incidentally, were civil rights demonstrations looking toward an open occupancy in East Lansing, which we now have, and another one conducted over here about a city block in that direction, in which they urged the administration to give more money to the library so that we would move in the direction of the University of Michigan with respect to intellectual resources of the library type, that is, rather than being as far behind as we are. And that was considered to be activity bringing discredit on the good name of Michigan State University. So they wouldn't let them in. And we got them into, when I say we, I mean the American Civil Liberties Union and the American Association of University Professors, took the university into federal district court, contending that they had deprived him of First Amendment rights by denying him due process, by punishing him without a hearing, and everything else that goes with that. The upshot of it all was that they readmitted him and the court didn't have to act. Now, I submit to you that this resolution, adopted regrettably by our trustees, is just as illegal, just as much a deprivation of constitutional rights, if enforced in the way it seems to me the intent behind it would lead us to believe it will be, as the action they took against Paul Schiff. And I hate to see the university, of which I am a member, and for whose actions I am partly responsibility as a faculty member, dragged into court every 3 or 4 years because they don't seem to be able to learn a simple lesson that some of our students who are only 18 years old or 20 or so seem to be able to learn, and that is, once the court has spoken and instructed you as to what the Constitution says in a certain factual situation, you ought not repeat the crime. But I do have a feeling that if this resolution is not rescinded in the direction of making it consistent with the First Amendment rights of the U.S. and in addition to the Michigan State Constitution, that's precisely where they're going to be, in federal district court. Now, I felt then, and I feel now, that it's extremely unfortunate to bring a university into court, to get a court to instruct the university to do what a university ought to do in the first place, what any institution ought to do in the first place. So it's my hope that we won't have to reach that point. It would seem to me that the rational thing for us to do on the Michigan State campus would be for the trustees who, so far as I can tell from the accounts I have read about this resolution, acted in haste and without having had a chance to think very carefully about the implications of that resolution. It's my hope that they will now re-examine that action. And if they insist on writing a resolution to deal with student unrest, write one that's consistent with the constitutional rights of the students and hopefully even consistent with the Academic Freedom Report that we make so much of here at Michigan State. Thank you.
Our next speaker will be Dan Stevens, Chairman of the Board of Trustees.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is not a new experience for me to speak before a group of students and faculty at Michigan State University. I have accepted invitations from student groups, the student government in the past on many occasions, and I have spoken to faculty groups on many occasions. And I intend to continue to do so. Among the groups are the Association of University Professors and other organizations that are legitimately organized here as a part of this great university. And another thing that is not new for me is to be in a minority on an issue of this kind. I should like to say in the outset that I am here speaking for Don Stevens and no one else. I do not speak for the board, especially on this issue, because I do not agree with the action that was taken by the board on this issue. I might cite an example of a couple of issues where I have been in the minority in the past. I've served on this board for 10 years and 9 months at the end of this day. Not long after I was elected in 1958, at about early 1959, I think it was, there was a great discussion on this campus as to whether or not there should be compulsory or voluntary ROTC. There was a study and a lot of discussion. The students and faculty and the general recommendation was that the university should adopt a voluntary ROTC program. However, the Board of Trustees, by a 6-2 vote with Trustee John Vanderplug and myself voting in the minority, the majority voted to continue the compulsory ROTC. But fortunately, after the election of John Kennedy and the appointment of Mr. McNamara as Secretary of Defense, the attitude of the Defense Department changed, and a voluntary program of ROTC was adopted here on this campus. 5 years ago, just a couple of months before I was to run for re-election to the Board of Trustees, I was the only one who voted for the principle of freedom of speech on this campus. I believe in free speech, and I believe in fighting against those who deny people who they disagree with the right to speak. And I abhor people who try to abridge that right either by legislative edict or copying Hitler's stormtrooper tactics that was used by the youth of Hitler during his rise to power. During this 10 years and 3/4 that I've served on the board, this university has grown more than it did in the first 102 years of its existence. I hate to add, not because of my presence on the board, but the Board of Trustees has supported this administration. And this growth hasn't just happened. The administration, I think, if you'd go back through the years, has given good leadership in the development of this university. The graduate program and the Honors College, and now the establishment here on this campus of a Phi Beta Kappa chapter, the admission of this university into the Association of Universities among the 40 great universities in this country has all happened in the last 10 years. And in addition to that, we've kept the doors open to the students who are graduating from the high school. Many of them, many of you, are sons and daughters of the GIs of World War II, who had an opportunity to attend college because of the GI Bill. Many people say we should have kept down the enrollment, but which of you would like to have been shut out this fall because we had held the enrollment back? I think the university administration has done a good job in helping to take these youngsters that have come out of our high schools and to, by establishing the Justin Morrills College, James Madison College, Lyman Briggs, and many other techniques have been used to handle this problem of bigness. And it's made it possible for us to keep the college doors open. I might say this. In addition, recently this university has moved in another area, in the area of doing something by in the fields of race and urban affairs, the whole problem of equal opportunity. And I certainly support, and all of the trustees support, the efforts, and we will do what we can to move this university even forward faster in this area. And I might say to us, those of us who are white, that we must understand that if we're going to have equal opportunity to those brothers and sisters who are black, they're going to have a little bit of super opportunity for a while if they're ever going to catch up. Because after all, we've held them back. They've been held back for over 100 years since they were freed. The Emancipation Proclamation signed by Abraham Lincoln. So now we're going to have to move, and certainly the university should be commended, and the trustees and the administration approve those moves. In saying that I agree with the university, 98% of the time, it's just to pick the figure, it's not far off. I think a strong administration needs a strong board of trustees. I don't think a strong administration wants 8 yes men or men and women on the board of trustees. And certainly that's not the kind of a trustee that I have been or ever intend to be. I think that the interests of the university are better served if the trustees will think for themselves. And if I'm not around when you're trying to call me on different occasions in the next 5 weeks, it's because I'm trying to see that we have 2 trustees on the board come January 1st who I know very well will think for themselves. Now, some people get all excited about law and order, and so do I. I am for law and order. I'm for law and order with freedom and justice as outlined in the Bill of Rights that adhere to the democratic principles. I don't agree with those people who think we should outdo George Wallace and his kind of law and order. After all, there was law and order, there was law in Nazi Germany. Laws were enforced quite well. There's order in communist Russia. But I doubt very much if there's very much freedom and justice in either one of those societies. Now getting to the resolution that was adopted, I'm having a hard time with my papers. And let me shove these away and I'll read what I've got left. To the resolution that was adopted by the Board of Trustees, I think the best way I can state my position is to read parts of a reply of a letter that I sent today to Provost Neville in reply to a note that he sent me that included the release that you saw in the state news this morning. And I said in my letter to the Provost, I called his attention to the sections of the Freedom Report that have to do with how the report should be amended. And it says very clearly that the Freedom Report should not be amended without faculty consultation with the students and without reference to the Faculty Committee on Student Affairs and adoption of the Academic Council. I suggested further that the Board of Trustees and the administration should set an example to the faculty, the students, and the people of Michigan by following the procedures that the Board of Trustees themselves adopted as to how the Freedom Report should be amended. To properly accomplish this, I suggest that the action taken on September 20, adopting the resolution, be rescinded at the next meeting of the trustees on October 17. And that the matter properly be referred to the Faculty Committee on Student Affairs for their consideration and recommendation. And then I ended by saying, we have a fine faculty and student body at Michigan State University, and I have every faith in their ability to act on this issue through the proper and democratic procedures that have been approved by the Board of Trustees when they adopted the Freedom Report. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Stevens. Our next speaker will be Dr. James Harrington, Vice President of the American Association of University Professors.
Thank you. Today, when it became known that I was going to talk to a group of students on the grounds of the Michigan State University campus, many of my colleagues looked at me askance, wondering where my courage came from. It seems strange to me that a professor should have to be courageous to speak to a group of students on the campus of the university. I believe that we perhaps only give lip service to this idea of intellectuality, of academic freedom. If every professor in this university, or any professor, is afraid to appear here to talk before any group of students, there's something wrong with the university, because in a free academic institution, any idea should be open for discussion. Second, I would like to address myself to the question at hand, namely the trustees' resolution. I would like to ask the students here whether they feel that they are citizens of this country. Are you citizens of this country?
Yes.
Do you feel ready to accept the responsibilities and the freedoms that come with being citizens of this country? One of the freedoms that every citizen is due is that of due process under law, that he cannot be arbitrarily punished without being given a fair trial, without being represented. And I would point out that the resolution passed by the Board of Trustees was passed without consultation with the faculty, without consultation with the academic council, and without consultation with the student body. It's arbitrary, it's capricious, and it's unconstitutional. I feel that neither the president of the university nor the Board of Trustees realized the full implications of what they were doing. I am going to now offend you by being somewhat of an apologist for their position. They are in a position of raising funds for this university and of paying professors' salaries and of supplying buildings and other needed material for students. And they, I'm sure, have listened and heard the legislature express the view that if universities are not willing to take action in the case of student uprisings and so forth, that the legislature would cut the funds of the university. And I think that the people who passed this resolution were thinking more about the well-being of the university than they were about the consequences of the removal of the freedom of due process for the student body. I do not believe that the university should operate in a climate of fear, and I do not think they should listen to the legislature when they make such threats. But at the same time, I do not believe that the administrative officials of this university were operating, or thought they were operating, outside of the interests of the student body. I'm sure that on more consideration, I know that they are considering it actively right now, that the rule will be rescinded or changed, and I hope not slightly modified, but completely rescinded and passed through proper channels. I would like to say something else, which you may find offensive, but I feel that on a campus such as this or any university, that it should have, there should be an intellectual climate. We should be able to discuss things with one another. And there's altogether too little of it on this campus, although the climate is rapidly improving. Now, and I think that the discussion should take place before action, that there are many means to an end. And action, such as, say, the kinds of action we've seen at Columbia, should take place only when all channels, other channels, have been explored. Let's not have a Pavlovian response. Every time we are offended, we march to the administration building. Let's use our imaginations and find other avenues, using such force only as a last recourse after everything else has been done. But I must say, as far as law and order, we've heard the words law and order, that during the last year, my observation has been that the people who have most frequently not followed the dictates of law and order have been the authorities and not the people. I think that's, I meant to give you one illustration of what unregulated authority can do, and I think I will yet, if I'm not boring you with this long talk. 3 years ago, probably before some of you were here, some of you will remember, four students picketed the Marine booth at the Career Carnival because they were showing napalming films, and these students were offended by the sight of napalming films and handed out some leaflets and showed some pictures of the consequences of napalming runs. The students were arrested. They were tied together on a chain like fishes on a line. They were hauled off to jail, and they were forced to stand trial. They were found guilty by a local Mason judge. They spent several days in jail. They were finally bailed out, and to make a long story short, after a great deal of expense on their part and on the part of their friends, legal fees, $600 for a transcript of the record so that they could appeal, the loss of time at school, the probably irreparable damage caused by a criminal record, they have now been found innocent. Now, the four have been found innocent in the Michigan Circuit Court of Appeals. But I ask you this, who is going to repay them for the indignity of being hauled off on the end of a chain? Who is going to repay them for the indignity of being thrown into jail, for the monetary loss that they have suffered, and most of all, for the criminal record that they have achieved? And this case alone is one thing that has led me to consider very seriously limiting arbitrary authority on the part of any individual at an institution like this.
Thank you, Dr. Harrington. Our next speaker will be Mark Jarslick from the Students of Democratic Society.
There seems to be some sort of feeling amongst the people who preceded me that Chicago, the police state of Chicago, could you hear me? Has suddenly arrived at Michigan State University. The laws that protected us for so long are no longer functioning. Well, it seems to me that the truth of the matter is these laws never did function at all. take the idea of due process, for instance. There's a very complicated judicial structure here at Michigan State through which a student is supposed to be obtained due process, is not supposed to be arbitrarily punished by the administration. Well, if you look at it, there's no due process in it at all. I mean, you know, the student faculty judiciary, which is responsible for handling the
student board will speak very nice to you.
Holy cow. I want to begin this afternoon by reading a letter which was just handed to me a few minutes ago. I can see why everybody's been having trouble with their notes up here. The letter is from Dr. Harris. He says this: I regret that I will be unable to speak at the rally this afternoon. Since the Faculty Committee on Student Affairs will meet early this week to discuss the resolution, and since I represent the College of Social Science on this committee, I think that I should refrain from speaking at this time. I do have very strong views on the resolution, and I will make them known after the meetings of the Faculty Committee. In parentheses, he notes that he will also make them clear during the meetings themselves. The reason that Dr. Harris is not here this afternoon is because he didn't feel that it would be proper for him to address this group after it's been noted that he's a member of this Faculty Committee on Student Affairs, since they're going to be considering this tomorrow. It's not because he doesn't support this position. I'm going to try to make my comments just as brief as I can and explain a little bit to you why I personally am against this and why the ASMSU board has strongly opposed this Board of Trustees resolution. I think in the first place, when I first saw the resolution, which was about a week ago Tuesday, the thing from the very outset repulsed me. It not only is contrary to three sections in the Freedom Report, at least as I read the Freedom Report, seems to me that it's totally against our concepts of due process. More than that, I think that the university is missing the fundamental issue if they think that they can solve problems of delinquency or problems of dissent by throwing a student out of school. I want to tell you about an example that was given to me of a time when this particular resolution could be invoked. The example comes from the Vice President for Student Affairs. He said, what do you do if you've got a kid walking around with a bucket full of gasoline and he's threatening to burn down the administration building? Now, none of us want to have the administration building burned down, but what I ask him is, what is it going to do if you kick the kid out of school? I think it's been clearly demonstrated at probably every university in this country that a non-student is just as capable of burning something down as a student is. I haven't heard an example yet of a time that this ordinance could be invoked when it would do anything to protect the university. And it seems to me that something like this, the only reason that any kind of a policy like this should stand is if the university must be protected and not just to punish students that somebody doesn't happen to like. Now, there's another reason why I strongly disagree with this resolution. It's been discussed already, it's the legal question. For the past 2 years, the student board has been operating, accepting the Academic Freedom Report as university policy. We've used provisions in that report to suggest policy changes and so on. We've dealt in good faith. When the Board of Trustees does something which itself is contrary to their own document, well, I guess it kind of shakes me up a little bit. I don't like to think that I'm the only one in the university that has any faith in the Academic Freedom Report. Seems to me that the trustees owe some kind of allegiance to that report as well. Now, I think the question before us now is, where do we go from here? What do we do about this resolution? There are two things that the student board has done. First, we're drafting a case to be presented in the student faculty judiciary. Second, we'll be proposing an amendment to the Academic Freedom Report, which would itself be the exact opposite of this resolution. There are other things that must be done, and I think in a lot of ways they're more important than these amendments and these judicial complaints that we might register. First of all, I'm glad to see the kind of crowd that we have here this afternoon. But there are also a lot of students on this campus who are sitting back in residence halls, fraternities and sororities. It seems to me that this is the kind of resolution that can affect any student on this campus. The first thing that we've got to do is to mobilize some student support. There hasn't been an issue on this campus since I've been here where students have really taken a unified stand. I'd like to see what would happen if we did. A little later this afternoon, there are going to be petitions passed around so that anybody who wants to start circulating them to get signatures against this resolution can. I think at this point, in my own mind, with the kind of student support that we have here this afternoon, the kind of student support that I think that we can mobilize, that this university, the Board of Trustees, and the administration, whoever wants this resolution, is simply not going to be able to have it because we're not going to let them. And I don't think we ought to let them either.
Thanks, Pete. Our next speaker will be Tom Sammet, junior member at large from ASMSU.
One and a half years ago, the Freedom Report was dropped in our laps. And a lot of us, since that time, for a full year and a half, have been trying to decide exactly what it meant. And today, and in the past 2 weeks, we've been told that it means very little indeed. Well, it seems to me that now is the time to put the channels to the test. And I'm speaking as a person who has believed in channels. I'm on the student board. That in itself means that either I've been completely snowed by them or I do believe in them. And I'm on the Faculty Committee on Student Affairs, and I would like to know at this time whether I've been a victim of an experiment in tokenism or whether the channels are there, whether established procedures do work. It seems very clear to me that no student at this university can ask to be bound, can ask to be bound by a set of established procedures that are being blatantly ignored by the administrators of the university, and they are being ignored. The Academic Freedom Report, what many of us considered a very valuable document at one time, is going to live or die here and now in the next 2 weeks. The amendment that the student board proposed several days ago, stating very clearly that no disciplinary action may be taken against any student prior to a hearing, must pass. It must pass the student board and the Faculty Committee on Student Affairs, and it must be approved by the Board of Trustees if academic freedom is to have any relevance at this university. Furthermore, I think it's clear that an immediate repeal and a complete repeal of the present resolution is badly needed. I feel personally offended as a member of the Faculty Committee on Student Affairs at Dr. Neville's suggestion. He has asked, in fact, that the Faculty Committee act as the grammarian for somebody else's illegal document. I don't want to reword it, I want to change it. About a week ago, I was asked by a member of the State News staff to write an article on academic freedom. And the essential question he raised was whether student government served the purpose of dissipating the energy of interested students or whether it had a real function. And I think now we have the chance to know. I still believe in it, but I've got to be convinced. And now is the time for somebody to do some very fast convincing. Again, I want to know whether student government, whether the established channels, whether the procedures clearly set forth in the Freedom Report are an experiment in tokenism or whether they are real, whether they are meaningful, because I'm not willing to be a token, nor is any other member of the student board, nor should any student at this university be. It's very definitely time for each of us to know whether the Academic Freedom Report was an act of concession or an act of conviction. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Andy Pyle will speak for off-campus counsel.
Brothers and sisters, I'm like Brother Samet, who says he believes in charity. And I see a lot of students here, and that really makes me feel good. The only reason I'm up here is because I'm a little bit pissed off about this resolution. You've had a lot of speakers, and they've said that there's a lot of channels that have got to be utilized. And that's probably a pretty good idea, because if you don't do that, then they'll use it against you, you know, and they'll say that you're a mob. And, they'll compare you to stormtroopers and stuff like that. So I think, ASMSU is running things through channels, and the Faculty Committee on Student Affairs, and the Student Committee on Faculty Affairs, and everybody else is running things through the channels. That's a fine idea. But we're just students, most of us here, and we don't have anything to do with it. So the people are running things through the channels, we've got to use our imagination to let people know what we think. To let the Board of Trustees know in some way other than, sending them a letter that says, we, the students of Michigan State University, are pissed off. So I made a counter-resolution that I'm going to read, and it doesn't do any good coming from me because I'm just one student, but I see enough students here that I think we could probably convince them if we stood together on this thing. It says, whereas the students of Michigan State University have seen the Academic Freedom Report nullified and our constitutional rights denied by the resolution of the Board of Trustees in conjunction and with the assistance of President John Hanna as of September 20, 1968, and this is resolution form. Whereas the students of Michigan State University recognize that the Board of Trustees acts time and time again in the specific interest of the Board of Trustees. That's another issue. And totally ignores the legitimate interests of the students and the university community. Now, therefore, in order to demonstrate to the president, the trustees, and whatever other interests are being served, that we no longer intend to submit to the manipulation, control, and suppression of anyone else's life and freedom in the name of the university of which we are members. The most recent example of which is the suspension of all due process and the imposition of a martial law system of instant retribution without trial. It is hereby declared and determined that we shall resist by whatever means necessary the president continued arbitrary and unilateral decision-making process which imposes its will without either morally, educationally, or intellectually justifiable basis. We shall resist everywhere and in every way. We will think against, speak against, act against, and live against this unjust, stifling, and self-serving system and any like it that might replace it for as long as the students will learn. Our lives are no longer the playthings of anyone. They are our own as long as we live them. That makes me feel better already. Also, I have a specific suggestion. We don't want violence like at Columbia, unless we've gone through like all the channels and stuff. And I mean, we heard, you can't do the thing until every other thing has been done. So I have a suggestion. In the nonviolent spirit of Gandhi, Martin Luther King, and the people of Czechoslovakia, at 12 o'clock noon on Tuesday, We ask all those concerned about the Board of Trustees resolution and the trampling of freedom to stop for 1 minute and stand in non-silent, non-violent resistance. We ask those in class or at lunch or on the street to stand quietly and think about freedom. We ask those in cars to stop and blow their horns for that 1 minute to let those who can hear blow your horn to let those who can hear, if there are any, know of our concern for freedom, regardless of your ideological beliefs or political methods, and that means everybody, man. That means SDS, SLA, ASMSU, AUS, YAF, ANRAN, anybody. You're all clapping today. I hope at noon tomorrow you're all standing or blowing your horn.
Yeah, there'll be a couple special announcements now.
Thing on? Oh. I have a petition here that we've drawn up to circulate. I'll read it to you first so we know what we're talking about. Whereas the Board of Trustees on September 20 approved a resolution which is basically and inherently in violation of the Academic Freedom Report and its guarantees of due process and which constitutes an illegal amendment to the Academic Freedom Report, we, the undersigned students, call upon the Board of Trustees to reaffirm their support for the Academic Freedom Report by reconsidering and rescinding this illegal resolution. It's short, simple, direct, gets right to it. It's an illegal resolution. It's got to be rescinded. By the way, this was drawn by Leland Carr and checked by Dickerson and Nonemaker, so we know it's legal. Resolution. The point I want to make is that there's been a lot of talk this year about participatory democracy, about getting people involved. It's nice that we have the faculty and Don Stevens and ACLU and so forth. They're very valuable allies to us. But in the final analysis, if there are rights, we have to stand up for them. If we aren't willing to stand up for them, we don't deserve them, and we won't have them. Now, we have these petitions. They're here by the rock. If some of the people here will take some of them and begin passing them out, collect as many signatures as you can on them. If you need more, you get them from student services. And we'll have another gathering here Thursday afternoon at 3:00. Everybody get your petitions, bring them here, get as many as you can. Everybody get here, and we're going to form an orderly, solemn body and take them to the administration building, present them to the administration, and we'll see if they can turn their backs on us then, when we have all this support. See if they can turn their backs on the students again. So that's all I have to say. I just want to urge you to get behind this thing because if they're students' rights, students got to support them.
Some of these changes. Many of you probably don't know that there was a student running for county supervisor. Many of you don't know that there was a student running for sheriff. Can you sit down for just a minute? I think there's going to be another announcement, so maybe take a couple minutes, okay? And you may also be interested to know that there are two people from East Lansing, one of them a student, who are running for the Board of Trustees for Michigan State University. Another one, Mr. Hoff, along with Dr. Blanche Martin from East Lansing and undergrad Lang, are people who would not have supported the resolution that we're gathered to talk about today. Traditionally, the ladies at East Lansing City Hall have given students a lot of trouble when they've gone in to register to vote. You can register to vote if you are a citizen of the United States. You are 21 years old by November the 5th of this year.